We have two readings today, one from the Song of Songs, also known as the Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verses 6 and 7, and then Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 26. First, from the Song of Songs, Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is strong as death, passion fierce as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, a raging flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If one offered for love all the wealth of one's house, it would be utterly scorned. And in Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 26, this is a portion of Matthew's account of that Last Supper. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Brannon Manning tells a story of a missionary family who had come home from overseas on furlough. They were staying at a friend's lake house, and one day, as the father was messing around the boathouse, actually trying to get the motor started on the boat, Billy, one of his three children with him on the dock, wandered to where another small boat was tied up. As the four-year-old tried to climb into the boat by himself, you can guess what happened. He fell over into the lake and disappeared in the waters by the dock. The other children began to scream, and when the dad realized what had happened, he dove into the water, looking for his son. Twice, he surfaced to get air, and on his third attempt, he happened to go over next to the dock, and he found Billy holding his breath just under the water's surface, clinging to the post of the dock. His dad pried Billy's fingers loose and swam to the surface with him and reached up and placed him on the dock and then climbed out next to him, absolutely terrified, horrified, and yet relieved that his son was sitting there blinking at him with the big eyes of a four-year-old. He looked at Billy and said, "What were you doing down there?" To which Billy replied, "Just waiting on you, Dad." Billy knew his dad's love. Billy had been swimming with him before. Billy had grown up around the water. And Billy trusted in his dad coming to save him no matter what it took. The four-year-old knew, and he trusted. We're here today for various reasons. Some are here out of mere habit. Some to check off. You have the con, Mr. Chekhov. No. Some to check off that weekly duty. Many, I pray, are here out of love and trust because you know God. You are known by God. And you trust in God caring, in God coming to be present, in God caring for you. We will also come in a few moments to the table to remember the love of God shown for us in Christ's sacrifice. God coming down to us. But what does this remembrance really say? What does it really say about God? Things that we can know and things that we can truly trust if we are true disciples, true learners. Now, the passages read today may seem rather strange read together. And one of them may seem very strange to be reading on a Sunday morning. How many times do you hear someone read from the Song of Songs, which is really a love poem? If it was written by Solomon, it was to one of his wives or concubines. If it had Xerox machines, he probably would have Xeroxed enough for each one and sent it to them. But most Christians are unfamiliar with much of what's in the Song of Solomon, and most of us are unfamiliar with these verses, unless they happen to be read at a particular occasion. Anybody know when these verses might be read the most? That's right, weddings. In fact, I read them rather regularly at a wedding. And though they are part of this love poem, the words speak a promise about God as well, and can be a challenge for us to speak to God the same kind of commitment, love as strong as death. The Song of Solomon was actually associated with the Passover and was often used in the liturgy at Passover, different sections of it. Passover was a holy reminder of God's redemptive mercy, God's redemptive grace in delivering Israel, in going to war for Israel against Egypt, and in delivering Israel with a love stronger than death. The Last Supper was at Passover, when Jesus was celebrating. And so it would not be uncommon for Jesus to have, as part of the ritual, quoted from the Song of Songs. And Jesus speaks in a very different and definitive way about His love at that Last Supper. The writer of the Song of Songs sings here of a love that is all-consuming and overpowering, and irresistible love, invincible and triumphant, according to Hugh Thomas Kerr. In verse 6, in ancient times, when few persons could write at all, many carried a seal suspended from around their neck, worn over the heart, or worn over the right hand side. That way, when they needed to make a signature or a mark to distinguish it from someone else's mark, you know, it's not just going around making an X. Well, how do I know that's your X? It might be his X, or, you know. This particular seal would be worn around the neck, over the heart, or on the right hand side, and then they could stamp their mark on papers, distinguishing their commitment from someone else's commitment. The word for death here is the same as the word for Sheol. When it talks about it's stronger than death, it says basically the same thing is being said. It is stronger not just than death, but than Sheol itself, the very underworld, the place of the dead, this love. And I know some translations say jealousy rather than passion, but passion is the better translation. But the truly interesting thing to note is that the word for this furious flame ends in the Hebrew Yah, and can be translated literally as a flame of Yah, short for Yahweh. This all-consuming and triumphant love is a flame of God. Even though the writer of the Song of Songs is writing it to his wife or girlfriend or concubine and saying that he loves them with that very same flame that God loves, it speaks of divine love for you and for me and for all who will come to God. This love is priceless and will always find a way to overcome any situation. It cannot be drowned by floodwaters. It cannot be blown out by winds. It cannot be overcome, for it is the flame of Yah. Most scholars agree that these verses are the climax of the Song of Songs, actually. An affirmation that love will conquer at the last and is greater than all illusions. Love that is as strong as Sheol or death and even beyond. Love is not just beautiful and ineffable, but love, true love, is a powerful force. It's not just something we think about and something we write in a letter to get somebody to pay attention to us. I love you. Do you love me too? Please write back. No. The writer is speaking of a very serious reality. A very serious reality. The love of God. True deep love, even from one person to another, that can overcome so many obstacles. In Jesus, God shows that that flame of Yah, that love of Yahweh, that love of God is far greater than any earthly love. And where the writer of the Song of Songs speaks of love as strong as death, we find in the New Testament that the love God shows in Jesus doesn't end at death, because what did Jesus do? Jesus overcame death. That love is stronger than death. One from which Paul says Christians cannot be separated. We often read or hear predominantly at funerals from Romans chapter 8 that nothing can separate us from the love of God, not even death. Jesus reinterprets the Passover elements here as he centers on the bread and the wine, speaking of that love of his. It's interesting that he would have spoken in Aramaic, and in Aramaic he would speak, "This, my body. This, my blood." No verb. Just statement of fact. "This, my body. This, my blood." Which, for his hearers, for those disciples, would have heightened the understanding of both sacrifice and receiving God's blessing as they eat and drink this bread and wine. Jesus' death is the act of love that institutes a new covenant relationship between God and God's people. It's a relationship that is not just vertical. It's a relationship that is vertical and then, as we live it out with others, becomes horizontal. There are two parts to that relationship. That relationship with God is not just between God and us. If we are true disciples, that relationship has another component. It's between me and you. It's between us. Ben Witherington also notes, "The story is once again laden with irony, since the implications of this assertion about expiating blood of Jesus is that death, which was the ultimate pollutant in the Jewish purity system, is the means of ultimate cleansing. In Christ, God uses death, which is the ultimate in the eyes of Jewish laws of purity, the ultimate thing that just makes you unclean. But God uses death to cleanse. Not just to cleanse for a short time, but to cleanse forever. It is the shedding of the blood that inaugurates a new covenant. A love and a covenant stronger than death. The faith and the trust of Jesus in stating that His death would accomplish this new covenant and that He could distribute the benefits is amazing. If you think about it, He says, "My death is going to institute a new covenant, a new relationship, and by eating and drinking, you will gain benefit." That's pretty audacious. It really is for someone to sit there with these other men and say, "I am giving you new life and new relationship." And He tells them He will not only be present at the messianic banquet in God's kingdom with them, but His death is instrumental in bringing about the kingdom of God, now and in the future. This meal was not just any ordinary meal, but it was a celebratory and sacred meal. The action represented at the meal and later in the death is God's action on behalf of you and me and all of humanity. It is a meal which anticipates overcoming death. And not just physical death. It anticipates the overcoming of the death of the soul as well. In other words, it speaks volumes, not just verbally, but by action. It speaks volumes about a love even stronger than what the writer of the Song of Songs imagined. For he said, "Love is strong as death." Jesus says, "My love is stronger than death." As we come to participate in the Lord's Supper in a few moments, it is my hope that we might see within our participation a same sacred celebration. A sacred celebration of love stronger than death. Love and relationship like that of Billy and his dad waiting for our Father, God, whom we know and whom we trust. Because His love is a seal which we wear as God's signature. Not only upon us, but we wear it as God's seal and signature for us. Love as strong as death. As we come to prepare for celebrating at the table of Christ, our closing hymn is hymn number 157, "The Love of God." In some places, there is not a hymn in between the message and the celebration of the Lord's Supper. But as you know, we do indeed have this hymn. Because this is a celebration, but it's also an invitation. An invitation to be part of that kingdom, to share in that supper, and to truly know that love that is stronger than death. So as we sing, it's more than just time to allow deacons in the choir to come down. We sing this hymn so that if you feel led in your heart from God to make a decision and to make that decision public, we welcome you to come and to share at table. Hymn number 157, The Love of God.